Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net. I want to think that by this point in the almost 2.5 years of this show that you have visited the website. The other day I was talking on the phone with the owner of Merchantside Marketing Group, the company that built the website. I told him how thrilled I was to see CatholicSportsRadio.net listed and the information they send out to potential new clients. I should clarify that if you or someone you know wants to talk to them about potentially building a new website, while there is an ad on CatholicSportsRadio.net for them that says $99 per month, they do have different options, different packages that they can tell you about, and other services that they offer for that matter. I should also note that their owner not only will talk to you himself, but he is very much a Christian. Anyhow, speaking of this show's website, you can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And do please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Invariably, if you are a devoted fan of a particular sport, and more specifically one certain team, you come to know certain players, meaning usually an opponent who is either among the game's elite or someone who is known because they're a pest. They play a role designed to get under their opponent's skin, maybe draw them into a penalty or a foul. A lot of times these players will be talked about as always flapping their gums. Whether it's because they are a perennial all-star or because they get under your skin when your team plays against them, a sports fan can be lured into saying, "I hate that guy," or they'll say the player's name followed by, "Ugh, I can't stand him." This can get not only taken too far, but from a faith perspective, we also have to realize where this ill will is truly coming from. On the Solemnity of All Saints, back in 2013, during his homily in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis said, quote, "Understand this well, love is of God. Then from whom does hatred come? Hatred does not come from God, but from the devil. And the saints removed themselves from the devil. The saints are men and women who have joy in their hearts, and they spread it to others. Never hate, but serve others, the most needy. Pray and live in joy. This is the way of holiness." End quote. Friends, let us heed the words of Pope Francis, and let us not view athletes with envy or hatred, but rather love and compassion. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played over 250 regular season and playoff games combined in the National Hockey League with two different franchises, in addition to playing overseas in the Swedish Elite League. He went on to be a scout for the Vancouver Canucks and later joined his fourth NHL franchise, the Columbus Blue Jackets, as an assistant coach. He was also an assistant coach in the American Hockey League and nowadays has been the head coach of the University of North Dakota men's hockey team since just over 6 years ago. In 2016, he became the first rookie head coach in NCAA men's ice hockey history to win a national championship. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Brad Berry.
Thank you, Bruce. It's great to be on your show here today, and I really appreciate everything you do for everybody of the Catholic faith here, and I look forward to spending some time with you today.
Likewise, Brad. Thank you. I appreciate it. There have not been a whole lot of guests on this show who are from somewhere other than the United States. Brad, you grew up in Alberta, Canada. What was the size of your family, and what was the household and the community like when you were growing up?
Yeah, it's a great question, Bruce. You know, I grew up in a very, very small farming community in central Alberta in Canada. My hometown in Basha, Alberta, was about 800 people. And
wow.
Very, very tight-knit group. And, you know, it brings true to the meaning of everybody knows everybody. And everybody knows everyone, what they're doing and different things like that. A very close town. But in saying that, it really established my, I guess, what I am today as far as the person I am, the thing that I believe in, the morals and the characteristics that I bring to the table, and now being a father of three, a husband and a father of three, really instill that into my kids, and hopefully kind of give them those life lessons that I got created back in Bashaw, Alberta.
And how many siblings did you have, and was this a Catholic or a Christian household you grew up in?
Yeah, you know what? I have one sibling. I have an older sister, and she's currently living back in Alberta. She's a registered nurse there. And my parents, they're still living back in that farming community, and they're in their mid-80s doing really well, retired and doing really well right now. And unfortunately, due to COVID, I haven't been up there in about 18 months, and I'm hoping to get back there at the end of July or August to reunite with them. But you know, FaceTime and phone calls and different things like that, I've been in touch with them. Going back to my faith background, I grew up in a Lutheran house. I grew up as a Lutheran, went to school, Sunday school as a young man, got confirmed, went through that. And then, you know, I came down to North Dakota and into college, and I met my wife we've been married 31 years. I met her about 35 years ago. We've been going out for a few years before we got married and finally got married, but I was in and around her family quite a bit, and really intrigued with the Catholic faith. They were devout Catholics and went to Mass with them and everything about the holiday seasons and being around them and going through that. And you know, we were going to start a young family soon thereafter, getting married, and I just thought that, you know, that's something that I wanted to pursue and learn more about, and wow. I'm glad I did.
Wow.
And it's been a big part of my life.
Okay, so just like coaches do with hockey tape, with hockey video, let's break some of this down.
Yeah.
For openers, is it safe to assume that you probably took to playing hockey at a very young age? And if so, was there any one person, some influence, and or one reason that you started into the sport? Or was it just, it's the national winter sport in Canada, that's just what you do?
You know what, a little bit of both. I think, first of all, in Canada, you know, growing up in a small town, that was the sport. That was a national sport at the time. I know there's a lot of other things going on in Canada now that they've gotten, you know, better at. But I think one of the things was hockey, and I was really intrigued with it. I had an inner passion to do it, loved it. You know, I knew right away in my heart that I'd like to try to go as far as I could in it. And one of the things I had to do was, you know, I was in a small community, and I had to play youth hockey, and then at a very young age, I had to commute to a community 30 minutes away to play bantam and midget hockey. And then, you know, did pretty well and wanted to keep going, had the drive to do it, and had to get outside the comfort zone. And at age of 16, when I was going into grade 11 or my junior year in high school, I went away. I went 2 hours away to Edmonton, Alberta, and I lived with a billet family and played junior hockey. And you know, that was kind of the crossroads of your life where, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming at you when you're away from your family that, you know, trying to do the right thing, you know, and trying to stay on that narrow and focused road of what your focus and passion is, and that was hockey. And, you know, there was probably a lot of influences that could have got me off that path, but, you know, I think that guy, go back, and you mentioned it right there about your upbringing and your faith background. I really, go back on the sides of doing the right thing. And you talk about being a servant leader, of serving others and just trying to be a good person. And I really feel that my faith was a big reason why I'm where I am. Because, like I said, in this day and age of a lot of different things going on and things coming at you, it's probably very easy to get off that path.
So you went on to college and played hockey for the same school where you're currently the head coach, the University of North Dakota. Share with the audience, you started to mention this just briefly before, but you met your wife there, and that actually led you to get strongly involved with the Catholic faith at that point in your life.
Yeah, so I went on a number of different recruiting trips and playing junior hockey. You know, there's U.S. schools that come up and watch you play and feel if you're ready to be part of their program. And part of that is a recruiting process of visiting campuses. And I went to five different campuses, and my very last visit was North Dakota, and it resonated in my heart and my head that this is where I wanted to go, just because of who I was. You know, it wasn't a big school. It was a hockey school. It had great academics, great academic programs. I went into business, got a business management degree here, and you know, it was one of those things where I felt at home. And speaking, feeling at home, you know, Didn't really have a girlfriend growing up because I was focused. And then finally, after 2 years of school here, met the love of my life, my wife, that's currently my wife today, and really, really kind of enjoyed my time here at North Dakota. And then after 3 years, so after I met her in my second year, I played one more year at North Dakota. And then I signed a pro contract with the Winnipeg Jets. So now I'm a pro hockey player. And my wife remained here to finish her degree. And then a few years later, we got married. So, like I said, it was a great path. And it was something that, you never know what life holds in front of you. And it's a situation where I'm very glad I came to North Dakota and met my wife and established a family here.
Okay, so thinking about the time that you just described, in the second round of the 1983 NHL draft, you were chosen by the then Winnipeg Jets, the franchise that moved in 96 to Arizona.
Yep.
And you spent parts of the next five seasons with either Winnipeg or their AHL affiliate. When you're young and just starting your NHL career, do you even think about church at all in your faith? Or is it a case of excitement, nervousness, trying to learn a team system, working to earn a permanent spot with the big league team?
Yeah, you know what? All of that. And that's a great point, Bruce. You know, I think the biggest thing is, you sign a pro contract, your major focus, in getting to that point is trying to make that team. And when you make that team, trying to stay there and doing everything you can, preparing your body and your mind to try to have a long, prosperous career. For me, there was a little turbulence. There was some adversity. There were some things that came easy to me early on as far as making that team. And then I got sent to the minors a couple of times and trying to get back. And, I think adversity, it's how you handle it. Everybody gets faced with a adversity, whether it's in sports or real life or whatever it is, and how you handle it, how you're positive and have an open mind. But faith got me through it. It was one of those things where, God's in control. You control certain things, but he's the ultimate control of your life here. And I have to be honest with you. Like, when you're kind of busy or focused in that side of it, there's tendencies to not forget, but put on the back burner, of the belief and the faith and going to church on every Sunday and serving God. And for me, I think as a young person, that's very easy to do. But as you grow and mature and you have family and kids, it only gets stronger for me. And to the point now, I'm 56 years old. It's a big part of my life. And again, I think it's probably, I wouldn't say natural, but it's probably normal that in young people's lives that you kind of drift away a little bit. But I think it's one of those things where, to me, thankfully, I found my way back. And obviously, through the Catholic religion of my wife and her parents, it was a big driving force that made it strong.
Well, and it's making me think of the fact that oftentimes you will hear a player say that the longer that they're in the NHL, the game just slows down, because when you're a rookie and it's all brand new, it seems like these are the fastest players you've ever competed against, and everything is going by so quickly. And the longer you're in the league, the game slows down. And the longer you're in the game of life, things slow down for you, where you can look with a more calm and a different, mature perspective and say, you know what, I do need to make time for faith, and I do need to prioritize getting myself to Mass and participating in the sacraments, and I can exhale and see things a lot more clearly now that I am in my 50s instead of a rookie in the NHL that's in my early 20s.
Amen. It's said so well. And you know what, for me being a head coach here too, like, I can always remember my wife said, hey, you gotta slow down. You got to take time for yourself and your family, and that's a big thing, because I think there's pride, right? When you have a job, you want to do the best that you can do. You want to be the best at what you can do, but you can't leave the people in your life behind. You can't leave God behind, and you got to take time for that. And that's a big part of it. And you got to take time. And that's the biggest thing for me, is making sure that you take time every day or every week here for your family and God.
So in 1990, you went overseas to play in the Swedish Elite League. What was it like for you spiritually, psychologically, culturally, to get a long ways away from home for a while, where you probably knew next to no one and probably could spend some really devoted time in deep thought?
You know what? It was a great time. And you know, through adversity becomes opportunity. And you know, when I went to Sweden, it was the end of my contract. Well, I had 1 year left on my contract with Winnipeg, and a new general manager came in, and I was, you know, I had a pretty good career in Winnipeg, a little bit of time in the minors, but pretty good career in Winnipeg, and I had 1 year left on my contract. And the new general manager said, we're going to go a different direction. We're going to bring in some other players, and I got that, right? But he said to me, he goes, you know, we'll give you the choice. You can go back to the minors, or you can go overseas to Europe. And to me, when you go to Europe, that's usually the sign of the end of your career in the National Hockey League or pro hockey in North America. And, you know, I was at a point where I just got married that summer in 1990. And before that, when I was in Winnipeg and in the minors, you know, my wife was staying in Grand Forks, or my girlfriend at the time was staying here, and I was somewhere else. And we got married in 1990, and that was our first time that we were together permanently, where it was almost like a one-year honeymoon, where we went over there, and we had no kids at the time, and it was a situation where you talk about, Bruce, about taking time and taking a breath, and it was a great experience. It was a different brand of hockey, learned a lot there, but also growing with my newly married wife together, getting to know her, building our relationship with a strong foundation, and just taking a breath from the normal North American pro hockey side of it here. So, you know, I always believe God has a plan, and it's not one that you know with certainty what that is, but I tell you what, with belief and faith, it was the right thing for me. And you know what, at the end of the day, you know, and the long story short, I always wanted to continue on pro hockey North America. Well, I came back that next year and tried out for the Minnesota North Stars and got into their organization, which was the Dallas Stars after. So I kind of, you know, kept on with the passion of trying to play pro hockey North America. But having that one year of taking a breath overseas was really conducive to our relationship and marriage.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a blessing in more ways than one. Listeners, I have fallen into the bad habit of assuming, which is always a bad word, that most people have been listening to this show for a while. So I convinced myself that not only do you all know already that Catholic Sports Radio is a ministry for me, but I assume that you've heard the many episodes where I've given specific examples of expenses that I have had to take on out of my own pocket in conjunction with running all things Catholic Sports Radio. Since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors, I want to update you on two specific costs that I've just had to pay. I started to allude to one of them on last week's episode, and since then, that and one other have become a reality, as in money that I had to come up with and pay. I changed hosting companies for the website because I was very unhappy with the new podcast episodes not showing up on the website in a timely manner anymore, week after week. In fact, it was that phone call I mentioned earlier with the owner of Merchantside Marketing Group that steered me in the right direction, but it ended up costing me $251.64 for 3 years of hosting plus backup services, and this was at the same time that I got an email saying I would be getting charged $199 for a one-year renewal of the monitoring service that scans and then sends alerts for malware and other issues, plus they do the corresponding repairs. So all told, approximately $452. Yikes. I've got to be honest, that's definitely a big number for me as someone who is doing all this by myself. It's a big part of why I ask each week for your prayerful consideration of financial support for my ministry. As I mentioned last week, there's even one other cost I'm anticipating a quote for. And not only is that website related also, but then there are other expenses that I face for other facets of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. So if you feel that what I'm doing is making an impact and that you believe in my ministry and you like Catholic Sports Radio and feel it's helping your faith life, you think it's a good resource to help others in their faith life, I would appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution. I have sometimes referred to it as a form of tithing, and can tell you that there are two ways that you can bless this show with financial assistance. You can do it securely online through the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's fast and easy to do, and you can contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from when you utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. You put in whatever amount you're comfortable with. Alternatively, as some folks have done, you can instead send in a check through the mail. Just go to the contact section of the website to send a message to ask for the address to send it to, and I will personally email you back with the information. for where you can mail your check. Your contribution will greatly help me with the expenses that I'm referring to that come with operating the Catholic Sports Radio Ministry. I'll happily even say your name when you support the show with an online contribution or by sending a check. Or, of course, if some have asked me to do, you can choose to keep it anonymous. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. Do pray about it and consider a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Brad, let's fast forward to the mid to late 1990s. You came back from Sweden. You ended up back in the NHL, as you just mentioned, playing for the Minnesota North Stars, and then you went with the franchise when it relocated to Dallas, played for their minor league affiliate in Kalamazoo before finally retiring at the end of the 98-99 season. What do you remember about that time, meaning about being a pro athlete who has come to the end of his career yet being only in your mid-30s? What was your mindset then?
Yeah, it was, what do I do now? And you always, you know, getting into pro sports as a young player, and I entered the NHL at the age of 21 and retired at the age of 35 in playing professional hockey. You think you can play forever. and I think as it comes closer, there becomes more anxiety. You know, when it went, I went from a transition of going into Minnesota, then to Dallas, and then the Dallas Stars, and I got to thank them because they set me up to where I am today. They said to me, they said, we love what you did for our organization, but now we want you to help our minors, or our players in the minor leagues.
Wow.
And I took that as, well, I can keep playing in the NHL. I think I got another year or two. But, you know, they said, here's the deal. Like, we'll put you in the minors. We'll compensate you for doing this. But you're such a good leader. We want you to help our young guys how to be a good player, how to be a good person to play in the NHL in Dallas.
Wow.
So I got my head around it. And by this time, our first child, Brianna, was born in Dallas at the time. She was only a few months old. So now my wife and my daughter are heading to Kalamazoo, Michigan. And after about a month or two there, I loved it. I absolutely loved it, helping young guys like Jamie Langenbrenner and Marty Turkle and the next wave of players get to the NHL. And to me, that's a serving mentality, and that's how I got to be a coach. Was I really liked that position and got to help others, and to the point where I had my second back surgery in 1998-99 and I couldn't play anymore, and that's when I got hired on as a scout, a little bit part-time scout to get me through. And then my calling came at North Dakota when Dean Blaze, the head coach here, said, hey, you want to come back and be an assistant coach?
Wow.
And that's where I got my start. So, like I said, it was a tough transition, but it was one of those where, as a pro athlete, you go, what am I going to do next? Like, you know, this is all I've ever did my whole life.
Yeah.
I had a management degree, business management degree, but I loved the game of hockey that I wanted to stay involved in. And thank God that I got an opportunity in North Dakota to start coaching.
Well, you just mentioned a couple of these, but back in the intro, I had mentioned that you ended up being a scout for the Vancouver Canucks, an assistant coach for the Columbus Blue Jackets, an assistant coach for the Manitoba Moose, a lot of moving around.
Yeah.
Were you strong in your Catholic faith during all that, recognizing these opportunities as blessings and thanking God, maybe even praying about the different job opportunities you were getting? Or is it just all too hectic and you're too busy getting used to new surroundings, new organizations everywhere you go, and as a result your faith life slips a little bit?
Yeah, I think again a little bit of every all what you talked about there. And you know, part of being a coach is trying to build your body of work to try to sustain yourself and try to provide a way of providing for your family. You know, raising a family, providing for your family. And to me, you know, I'm a worker. I'm a guy that always wants to try to do the best that he can. And sometimes, again, that you're putting not yourself first, but you're trying to put yourself in a position to help your family. But in doing that, you're probably thinking about yourself on what that next move is. And just I don't want to go real long here, but I just want to let you know that God does have a plan. And what happened to me was, you know, I'm coaching here at North Dakota for 6 years as an assistant coach. And to me, at that point, it was like, hey, if I want to keep moving forward, I want to try to get my body of work, you know, resume, build my resume a little bit.
Sure.
So this is where you have to have an understanding wife and family. And at this time, I had my wife, Susanna, and I had three kids at the time now. And now I'm asking them to go to Manitoba, which is only 2 hours away from Grand Forks. But now you're living in a different country, living in Canada.
Yeah.
And I'm Canadian, but my family isn't. And they move up there and very supportive, right? So when I'm going through this transition in Manitoba and the Moose in the American League, her parents are from Grand Forks, obviously Catholic, and they were going through some adversity. Her mother had a heart procedure done that she ended up getting infection in the hospital and passing away within probably 3 weeks of that surgery.
Wow.
The routine surgery. And wow. We're up in Manitoba at the time. And at that same time, her father is going through Alzheimer's and dementia.
Mm.
So now it's tearing my wife's heart apart a little bit, being away and going back and forth and different things. So it didn't take me long, and with the voice of God behind me saying, hey, you got to take another breath here. Your wife needs you right now. So you know what I did? I dropped everything. And this was very tricky because obviously the only source of income was me coaching.
Yeah.
And I just said, hey, you know what? My wife and family are most important here, and my career isn't. My wife and family are. So we ended up resigning from the position, and things were going great in Manitoba. You know, the next step was going to the NHL and different things like that. And I just said to the organization, hey, I got to take a breath. I can't go on next year. My family needs me. So what we did was packed up. We went to Grand Forks, and her mother passed away, and her dad was in a nursing home here in Grand Forks with Alzheimer and dementia. So she and I were the kind of the caregivers, mostly her, and tending to him through the last 2 or 3 years of his time, and then he finally passed away. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, you get caught up in yourself and trying to provide for your family, but, you know, at the end of the day, your family comes first, and I'll for the rest of my life, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Is just take a step back and help your family.
Yeah, wow, God bless you. As much as playing in the NHL is certainly any young boy's childhood dream come true, does it seem like your current job is a dream come true? You're the head coach at the college you played at. You're a 3-time coach of the year. You've taken the team to a national championship. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is this a case of God's blessings just overflowing?
Amen, 100%. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that I learned in life is that never keep looking over the fence at what could be or should be or whatever. Like, be blessed and be grateful for what you have. And blessed and grateful is what I am. And every day I wake up when I come into the Ralph Engelstad Arena here and I get to work with young men that have goals and aspirations of what I tried to do, that's exactly what I want to do. And I don't even want to do anything else other than coach here at North Dakota. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where you got to be humble in your approach every single day of what you want to do. And when you feel that your job is you have joy in, it's not a job. It's something you get to do. I get to do this. It's not like I have to do this. I get to do this. And to me, I found my calling, and this is it right here.
Yeah, because I was thinking back to when you said that you're with Dallas and you felt that you could still play, and you thought, well, this is hockey. This is what I love. This is what I always want to continue to do. And it was, well, you're at a crossroads in your career, Brad. We're really not ready to have you continue on as a player. And lo and behold, even though you said I had this degree from college that I could have very easily used, instead, here you are all these years later still doing what you love and being blessed to be having some success right at the very school where your hockey career got started, you might as well say.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other part, too, is having stability in your life. Like, you know, whether it was a player when I bounced around a little bit and, you know, I didn't have a wife and kids at the time. And then I did have a wife and kids and bounced around a little bit. Like, to me, I'm grateful for the situation I'm in. You know, I think there's always life always has people kind of looking past that next corner or trying to get to where they need to go. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, I think you have to take a step back and realize that God does have a plan, and this is what I was meant to do.
Yeah, amen, amen. In my research for today, I came across something called the Brad and Suzanne Berry Family Hockey Endowment. To me, it feels very Christian to be a part of something like that. Share with us what that is and how it came to be.
Well, you know, part of being a Christian is always giving back, being the servant of God. And I think to me, the University of North Dakota and the hockey program here has blessed me tremendously as a player, as a coach, and as a person. And I feel like what I want to do is try to, it's not so much of leaving a legacy. That's not me. It's about trying to help that next young man or young woman coming through North Dakota here. And part of that is having the funding to try to hopefully present an opportunity or a scholarship for them to come in and have the experience that I had. So I think it's one of those things of just help, giving back.
Nice. Well, I want to close by just having you share a little bit more. You talked about your wife and you talked kind of around your children, but if you want to just maybe, if you're comfortable with it, give out your children's names and or ages and or what they're up to as it relates to kind of coming full circle. We started off this interview with me asking you about were you raised in a Christian or a Catholic household, and I think you're about to tell us that you're doing the same thing for your kids nowadays as a dad.
Yeah, for sure. So I, my wife Suzanne, she's identical age as I am, 56, and she's went through some health issues here probably the last 3 or 4 years, and God's blessing us and getting her healthy here and finding a way to keep moving forward here. But love her to death, and she's an outstanding woman. And I have three children. I have a 27-year-old girl named Brianna. She works for a medical sales company in Minneapolis, does very well, not married. I have a 25-year-old daughter in Minneapolis. They live together, by the way, in Minneapolis, and she's a registered nurse working at an outpatient surgery place. So they're in the medical field. That's a field that serves as well, serves people, and they're doing very well living together there, and no husbands yet. And then I have a 15-year-old son, and it's funny you mention it, because sometimes people ask, well, you have two girls that are older and a son younger. Is that a different marriage or whatever? So, no, I'm married to the same woman. It's just that God bless us with a young boy 10 years after my middle child. So I have a 15-year-old son named Bauer. He's a hockey player. He's going into 10th grade, and he loves life. He's active. He's kind of reminds me of me growing up. And kind of a side note about him is, he's got to that point in his life right now where hockey's going in the right direction. Academics are very strong at school and trying to make the right choices every single day. And I've got to know the people in Alexandria, Minnesota at the North Star Christian Academy. It's a sports-specific hockey development academy, but it's based in the Christian faith background. And to me, when I see my son go there, we went to their open house, and he's got to live it. It's not me. And he went there, and he experienced how close and tight the group is. The three prongs of it are the academics, the hockey, and then obviously the Christian background and the Christian faith that they keep building these young people on. And he's going there next year, and it kind of warms my heart that he chose to do that. So really excited about him doing that, and we'll follow him through that side of it. But that's my family. And one last thing I wanted to tell you here was, going from Lutheran to Catholicism, I had to do some work within the Catholic Church to be a Catholic. And I found that year that I went through there, it was very interesting. And that's where I really grew, I guess, my strength in the Catholic faith. And, we always have these different passages that we would talk about and different things. And I always wake up every morning, and I have two or three things that I recite to myself here, and there's one that really hits home for me, and it's the great commandment of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, and it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." For me, that's probably the strongest verse that I learned there that year, and that's what I try to do, to try to preach the word to my family here and to the people that are around me. So those are things that I try to live by each day and try to recite each day before I get the day going.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one to do, as you said, when you're just getting your day started. Brad, God bless you. Listeners, I'm going to encourage you to please pray for Suzanne. You just heard Brad mention that she's dealing with some health issues, so please lift up Suzanne Berry in prayer. And Brad, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks, Bruce. Anytime. It'd be great to hook up with you again. And again, thanks again for all you do.
Absolutely. And listeners, since we have a coach on the line, I thought we would close with a prayer this week from the National Catholic Coaches Association. So, of course, let's do this together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Proverbs 10:9, the one who lives with integrity lives securely, but whoever perverts his ways will be found out. Lord, in a world where integrity seems to be forgotten, help me see those times when I put my own at risk. Give me the strength to ask for help and even more strength to listen. Lord, use my life as an example of integrity so that it may be passed on to another generation and to the athletes whom you have entrusted to me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.